We're on air across Australia thanks to the Community Radio Network and support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. First up today, protesters gathered in front of Parliament House today calling on the government to stop cuts to the NDIS. Disability advocates say reductions in allied health funding, travel subsidies and support coordination will undermine access to vital therapies for many people living with disability. I spoke to CRN political reporter Noah Seckham, who attended the rally in Canberra.
Well, the concerns around the NDIS, of course, are quite wide-reaching, and a lot of them have surfaced in the last year or so since Bill Shorten stood down as NDIS minister. And the bulk of it is this change in what is covered by the NDIS and the kind of allowances that are extended to specific services, as well as the talk of the recent Thriving Kids initiative, which has caused quite a lot of confusion as to what that means and how the rest of the system will actually work around it. So the first sign or the first real program that was raised quite a lot today was the removal of sexual services early on, which has then kind of led to one of the biggest ones that has impacted a lot of regional communities was the reduction in travel allowances for allied health providers and professionals. So during the protest, we also heard from two politicians. Green Senator Jordan Steele John went out and spoke to the crowd himself. And we also had Lydia Thorpe coming in via a video. And what she was really pointing out in what she had to say was that it's the reduction in NDIS services and the cuts are a violation of basic human rights. And she was keen to highlight the crossover that comes with First Nations Australians as well as First Nations Australians with a disability, especially when we're looking at the latest death in custody.
My people, First Peoples in this country, are doing it hard when it comes to having a disability. We are calling on the government to do the right thing and have people at the table that know the way forward and can fix NDIS for all people living with disability.
And she made a particular mention of fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, which has come up a lot during discussions of First Nations incarceration and death in custody. So it was certainly a prominent theme from the senator and was brought up a few times throughout the protest.
Effects of these budget cuts. You obviously talked about access to services and allied health professionals and travel. Was there anyone there giving their lived experience of this?
Well, yeah, each person that spoke tended to give up a little bit of themselves in their speeches. And there was this sense that impending cuts are going to be life-threatening for a lot of people. There's talk of how the system will change how it assesses needs for individuals, and it will turn into there are fears that it will be a system which dehumanizes the process that is going to be using, you know, department officials to determine what people need in a three-hour session. And so many people there's a feeling that everyone's fed up of having to prove that they still have a disability, that they are still in need of support, and that there's this risk every time they are reassessed that the support's not guaranteed.
What was the turnout like for the rally?
Well, it wasn't the biggest protest that we've seen at the front of Parliament House, and it certainly didn't help that the weather did turn on the protest halfway through and it started raining. But the crowd there of about 50 people living with a disability, carers, people supporting them and advocates, it was certainly a passionate crowd that were engaging quite fully with what they were hearing and sharing. And someone I spoke to, Sarah Langston, who's one of the coordinators of the protest, she was particularly happy with how it turned out. And although it wasn't a massive turnout of people there, she explained why it feels significant for it to have happened today.
It's been amazing. Protest for the disability community it will always be small and symbolic. And something we're exploring a lot is how to overcome access barriers to include more people in protest. So I personally passionately feel that protest is a civil right, and it's a civil right that everyone should be able to access. So we're looking at ways to overcome access barriers so as many disabled people can access that right to protest in a time where they desperately need to access it, because what is happening to our community is awful, horrific.
And she, another point that Ms. Langston said is that it's the way that NDIS advocacy and protest has changed since the NDIS has actually come into being. So she pointed out how disability spaces are now about formal advocacy, and that a lot of what that formal advocacy is not actually effective for the to enact change from the government as it has in the past. And she said that there's this feeling that the government has actually learnt how to use the lingo of the disability community. A lot of this, she quoted the Theatre of Co-Design from Elle Gould, who's a previous person involved in the NDIA. And Sarah was pointing out how there is just this feeling that the community needs to fight in other ways.
Just start reading, start talking to people. There are great forums where you can learn things. There's the NDIS grassroots group on Facebook. That's a very active forum. There are groups like us, like the AMPA. So we particularly represent neurodivergent parents and neurodivergent kids. There's a lot of groups, and I think just start reading, start engaging, start talking to people, ask questions, Google things.
Protest organiser Sarah Langston there, speaking to CRN's Noah Seckham.